Welcome to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Here are your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lowell.
Yes, we're back. It's the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, Jeff Carrier. By my side is Seth Lull, back for another great episode in which we will be talking about players that are 30 years or older. That's always kind of that Mendoza line on potentially where fantasy production kind of jumps off a cliff. Seth, before we get into that, we want to kind of quickly touch on some of these head coaches and some of the offseason changes. We haven't really touched on that this offseason. What kind of fantasy impact they might have? What is one of the head coaches that you think might have the biggest impact when it comes to fantasy?
I think the obvious one is Kyle Shanahan. He's going to, you know, one of the worst offenses last year in the San Francisco 49ers. They don't have a lot to work with. He doesn't have a lot to work with this year. They did pick up Pierre Garçon. They have Jeremy Curley back, who had pretty much a career year last year for his standards. They're going to enter the year, as it looks like, with Brian Hoyer as the starting quarterback. And as of right now, it looks like, you know, Carlos Hyde is going to be the starting running back, but they did draft Joe Williams. I like, you know, I think everywhere Kyle Shanahan has gone, his offense has been fantasy relevant, and he's, you know, made, you know, he's done more with less. He seems like he's gotten pretty good production out of the weapons that he's had on his teams. You know, when you look at the Washington Redskins, when they had RG3 and Alfred Morris, and obviously his time in Atlanta the last year or two. So I think he's the obvious one. I know they don't have a ton there, but I'm expecting a lot of these players, like we've been talking about Pierre Garçon. You know, we're both on him, you know, based on where he's being drafted as kind of a sneaky sleeper pick. We both like Joe Williams, who's the rookie. And, you know, neither one of us are big on Carlos Hyde, but if Carlos Hyde is the starter, I could see Carlos Hyde having a pretty good year in Kyle Shanahan's system. So I think Kyle Shanahan's the obvious one.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right about that. San Francisco 49ers were actually second to last in terms of offensive drive percentage. They scored a 65% on that, basically meaning that the other 35%, they couldn't even muster up a first down. Okay, so they had 65% of the drives where they at least got a first down. That's a pretty low number when you're talking about at least just managing one first down. So Kyle Shanahan's going to bring a lot more creativity, probably, you know, a good system in terms of getting the ball out quickly from the quarterback. Brian Hoyer is going to be leading the charge there. As we know it, Brian Hoyer and latching on to targets, as you kind of mentioned, and which probably get into a little bit later because Pierre Garçon has hit the age of 30. DeAndre Hopkins had 192 targets 2 years ago when Brian Hoyer was his quarterback throwing him the ball. And we know that Kyle Shanahan's system has led to the number one receiver having high volume in terms of targets. We saw that all the way when he was in Washington with Pierre Garçon as well. So a lot of history there. As bad as San Francisco was, I think I agree. Carlos Hyde can stay a little bit healthy. He's going to be the front runner to be leading the charge there. The other one that I think is kind of interest, of note, at least I know a little bit about, is DeSean McVay out in Los Angeles. Los Angeles was actually last in terms of offensive drive success. Probably not a surprise for most people that watch their games or know Jeff Fisher. They scored a 60% in terms of offensive drive success. They went ahead and selected Gerald Everett in the second round as a tight end. It looks like Sean McVay is going to copy what you see in Washington. So if you like what you saw in Washington in terms of offensive production, Kirk Cousins, he was able to make Kirk Cousins, who a lot of people would say is a nice quarterback, but he's not the greatest, which is why Washington's kind of in this meddling spot in terms of giving him a long-term contract and giving him a franchise tag. Well, they went out and drafted a move piece tight end, a la Jordan Reed. That's Gerald Everett. They bring out Lance Dunbar, which is kind of like that third down role, which might hurt Todd Gurley, which is probably why we're a little down on him for that and other reasons. It's not even like that Todd Gurley probably can't do this role, but it seems like Sean McVay is trying to implement a system that he had success with out in Washington, out in L.A.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it because the Rams, you know, they can't get any worse. And I don't think a lot of people are going to be, you know, buying into too many of their players. Outside of Todd Gurley, what do you really have? I mean, they didn't even keep Kenny Britt, who had a pretty good season for them last year. So you really have Todd Gurley, and then you have a bunch of no-names that people either don't know or don't care about. Jared Goff, it'll be interesting to see, you know, obviously no Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher's the one that drafted him. So it'll be interesting to see if McVay, you know, what he thinks of Jared Goff and how Jared Goff plays in his second year in the NFL. I do want to get, you know, not to get too off track, but what would it be for the NFL? Obviously, what we do is we get off track all the time, right? Otherwise, it wouldn't be the NFL Talking Head. So,
of course.
I think it's outrageous that Derek Carr, when we talked about this an episode ago, Derek Carr gets this big contract extension, and you have the Redskins unwilling to commit to Kirk Cousins long term. And Kirk Cousins has produced just as much as Derek Carr. He's 28 years old. And it's just weird how the perception of one quarterback versus another. So my boy Kirk can't get any love.
No, I mean, you bring up a good point. He has at least as much production as Derek Carr. I don't know if he's really accomplished a whole lot more. You know, he hasn't really had any playoff success, obviously.
Neither has Derek Carr.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, they're in the same boat. So why does one quarterback get the $25 million and why does one not? You know, I don't know. I mean, I like to see the actual clubs in Washington actually, you know, kind of putting their foot down a little bit and making sure they have the franchise player. So when they did the franchise tag last year, I thought it made a lot of sense. I thought Kirk Cousins looked good in the, you know, partial year he played the previous year. But then he comes out, he has another good year last year. So you would think that should be in line for a contract, and it shouldn't be that hard to get it done, at least not the way that Oakland made it look. So I don't know. I mean, I guess he deserves it, but at the same time, I do like to see these clubs taking it a little bit slow because, as I did mention in the last episode, you know, Oakland gave Derek Carr the highest paid contract, and he hasn't even played in a playoff game. So
exactly, and Kirk Cousins has only started 2 years in the NFL because he entered the NFL, you know, backing up RG3, and Derek Carr has started 3 years. And quite frankly, I'd like to see from Cousins just as much, if not more, than what I've seen from Carr. He's only 2 years older. So, I mean, I digress, but it's just outrageous. And then even the way when you started talking about it, you saying he's not the greatest, it's like, yeah, he's not Tom Brady, but Kirk Cousins is, at least for fantasy, is a top 7 to 10 quarterback. And you know what? I'm just going to go to bat for him every time his name comes up because, as we know, he is in the keep it in your pants category for me. He is firmly in the keep it in your pants club.
Yeah, I think people know that by now. Keeping somewhat on target here of our topic.
Why would we do that?
I need to reel you back in a little bit, although I don't know why. I don't know too many of these other head coaches that have landed a starting job. Sean McDermott failed as a defensive coordinator out in Philly 1 year, then had to move on. Anthony Lynn, I've never seen someone rise so fast in the head coaching ranks. In the offseason, after the 2015 season, Anthony Lynn was the running back coach out in Buffalo. And then he got promoted to offensive coordinator, then promoted to interim head coach, and then got a long-term deal out in the LA Chargers. I mean, what could you have ever predicted that? I mean, there's no book on this guy. We don't know what kind of person he is. He was a running back coach. He's out in LA. Maybe that's good for Melvin Gordon. He's talked a lot about using Melvin Gordon a lot, so good signs, I guess. I don't know. Not much else. You have any thoughts in terms of those people or not, even Doug?
Not a whole lot, but just in general, I like – even we don't know who he is. We don't know him from Adam. But I like that better than a lot of these retreads getting jobs like, right, Doug Marrone, who we'll talk about in a little bit. I mean, we know what to expect from Jeff Fisher and Doug Marrone and, you know, Marty Schottenheimers of the world. So – it's not much, right? We've seen it. We've done that dance in the past. So at least Anthony Lynn brings some sort of, you know, he brings that unknown element to a team. I mean, the Chargers have a lot of weapons. There's a lot to like about the Chargers, and you know they're in my keep it in your pants for a team. They're probably one of two teams in the keep it in your pants category for me. You have the Cincinnati Bengals offense, and you have the Chargers. So Anthony Lynn could not have entered into a better situation, at least you know looking at it from a fantasy perspective, and you know that's one of the best divisions, if not the best division in the NFL. When you look at the fact that they have the Chiefs, the Raiders, and the Broncos all in that division, I think you can make a strong case for that being the best division. But we'll see with Anthony Lynn. I mean, nobody knows anything about him. The one thing I will say, running back coach for Buffalo, LeSean McCoy did have a career year last year. So, you know, maybe that's what it takes for a running back coach to get a head coaching job.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, LeSean McCoy lost 9 touchdowns behind him with Gillislee. But kind of moving on to the last coach that we wanted to speak about, I guess, you know, Doug Marrone, Jacksonville came in at 68% offensive drive success, just terrible. Doug Marrone was a head coach for the last 2 games. They played very good. They absolutely blew out Tennessee, almost beat Indianapolis. Blake Bortles had back-to-back, very efficient, good games with a 96 rating in the last game and 103 in the second-to-last game with 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. So, promising end of the season, but that's all we have to base it on besides that 1 year in Buffalo where even with an undermanned crew, he actually did win, what was it, like 9 games that year with Buffalo? So, I suppose it's worth giving him a second shot. I mean, he's proven a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of real life, I just don't really care either way. It's Jacksonville. They're going to finish in last place in that division easily. I mean, it can't be any worse than Gus Bradley. It's just there's so many bad coaches in the NFL. I mean, there's really – I was to ask you, okay, who are the top 5 coaches in the NFL – You'd probably get stuck after Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, 1-2, right? It's really hard to round out the top 5, you know. And then you consider the fact that there's, you know, the rest of the NFL filled with terrible head coaches. Doug Marrone is one of them. So
I can only imagine all the fans, all the listeners right now, and the whatever team that they root for, just absolutely hating you right now. Like, what are you talking about? Mike McCarthy's not the greatest head coach of all time.
I know. Well, there's so many average coaches. I mean, Bruce Arians, although very disappointing for Arizona last year. Bruce Arians is respectable. John Harbaugh is respectable. Yep. I guess if we're grading on a curve, Mike Tomlin's okay too.
Well, you got to give a lot of credit to Dan Quinn, what he accomplished last year with Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, I still think the jury's still out on Dan Quinn because he's still a young head coach. Obviously, going to the Super Bowl is good. I think give me another season or two from Dan Quinn, I'll put him in the upper echelon. But there's just not a lot of good head coaches. You have Andy Reid, who's one of the best regular season coaches of all time. But a lot of these coaches just do not know how to win in the playoffs. And I guess part of that is because you have the team called the New England Patriots in the AFC, which really make it difficult for a lot of teams. But, you know, we had to throw that out there as a New England Patriots fan.
So let's get over to the players that are 30 and over.
Yeah, so you know, I think this is a good subject, particularly for fantasy, because we always talk about, and you more so than me, that the 30 year mark is when we see, you know, players start to decline and father time is undefeated, all that good stuff. So I think for a lot of times it's like it's good to just educate, you know, some of our listeners on where players are at, how old they are, because you forget how old some of these players are, right? And kind of on this topic too, I was doing some research on NFL running backs, you know, active running backs that have a lot of wear and tear, you know, a lot of miles on their tires. Can you guess who, now, in terms of active running backs, you know, some of these on the list don't really count, so I'm not going to include Chris Johnson or D'Angelo Williams or Arian Foster, but give me the top 3 active running backs for most carries.
Most carries. Matt Forte. Oh. Frank Gore, those two come to mind.
Frank Gore is number 1, and Matt Forte is number 3.
Okay.
You're missing probably the easiest one. Oh,
Adrian Peterson?
Adrian Peterson is number three.
Okay.
He's played two less seasons than Frank Gore. But give me number four. This was very surprising.
LeSean McCoy?
Yes, LeSean McCoy.
I'm surprised I was able to guess all that. I'm bad with these guessing games.
If I was to tell you, LeSean McCoy has more carries in his career than D'Angelo Williams.
Well, as you would say, you know, LeSean McCoy probably fits that category that you always like to say. Jeff, doesn't it seem like this person's been around for like 30 years, even though they've been around for like two, they're a rookie or something like that? I mean, LeSean McCoy to you, he's been around for actually kind of a long time. How do you feel how long he's been around? Like, you probably think that he helped build the pyramids of Giza or something.
I don't think it's outrageous for me to comment on the fact that LeSean McCoy seems like he's been in the NFL for a long time. He entered the NFL a couple years after Adrian Peterson, but I don't know. It seems like he's been in the NFL forever.
No, I know. That's why I bring that up. Like, that's maybe a legitimate one, versus all your other ones.
And he's coming off arguably one of his best years as a pro. He's had seven straight seasons with over 200 carries. You have the map. I mean, Adrian Peterson hasn't done that because of the last couple of years. You have other quarterbacks. DeMarco Murray hasn't done that, and he's been a workhorse. DeMarco Murray is on this list as well. He only has, 400 less carries than LeSean McCoy. So I think that just gets you thinking about the wear and tear that these guys have put on over the years. LeSean McCoy is 29. He turns 29 next month in July. So this is his last NFL season in his 20s. Do you think this is going to be the last season that we see LeSean McCoy as a bona fide top five stud fantasy running back?
I don't think so, but obviously I'm going to have to see a full year of data of 2016. Is he going to finish off well? Is he going to play at least, 15 games or so, or 16 would be great. So, but if I had to make a decision if this would be the last year or not, I think I would lean towards probably a higher percentage chance that this would be his last bona fide elite season, because you don't know if Jonathan Williams, the rookie for a couple years ago, starts playing a bigger role. You don't know if the tread on his tires just gets a little bit too long or too short, or whatever, however you want to say it. But anyways, he's obviously, with another full season of at least 200 carries, hopefully, if he plays the entire season, is going to have a lot of wear and tear. So if I had to take sides after saying I think he might have another one, I'm actually going to back up and say that I would lean towards this might be his last bona fide season.
Can you just give me a definitive answer?
It's a hard question.
How long does it take you to answer a simple question? So I don't know if this is going to be his last dominant season. I think he's got maybe one more really good fantasy season. But last year was one of his best years in his entire career. It was the highest yards per carry average that he sustained over the course of the year. His next closest was 5.2 yards per carry in 2010. He had averaged 5.4 yards a carry last year. It was only his second season with double-digit touchdowns. The last time he had double-digit touchdowns was 2011. So, we're looking at very efficient running from LeSean McCoy, high volume touchdowns, but he is on a team that runs a lot.
It runs a lot. They need to use him, right? They need to throw him the ball. He had over 50 catches. No reason why he can't repeat that. Even though he had double digit touchdowns, Mike Gillisley had 9 himself. So there should be no reason why, especially with that 9 being available, that he can't repeat double digit touchdowns. But anyways, so he's 29. Let's move on to some people that are actually 30 and older. And are they, the exception to the rule, or are they the rule?
Okay, I got four running backs. Let's start at the running back position, because I think that's where we see this more often. It's the whole falling off a cliff is a lot more prevalent for running backs. 30 is really the age that you look at. So I'm gonna list off a few, and I want you to tell me you know, let's throw ADPs out the window for the most part. We're just looking at, you know, overall, are they going to have a solid fantasy season? Are they going to help you as a fantasy owner? So I'm going to throw out a few names. Tell me either the exception or the rule.
Right, and if they can be productive. Right, okay.
And more, I think we're going to, you know, I'm looking at this list, and I think we're going to disagree on a few of these, so which won't be shocking to anybody. All right, let's start with Adrian Peterson.
I hate him.
32 years old.
I mean, there's nothing that gets me excited about Adrian Peterson. I mean, when's the last time this guy played football? It seems like forever ago. He's getting hurt. He's getting suspended. He finally comes back. You know, he didn't play last season. Now he's out in New Orleans, and they already had Mark Ingram. Like, oh, okay, but, you know, they're going to use him as the early downs and goal line, which is maybe what they still do, and sub in or spell Mark Ingram. But, they'll, you know what, let's move up in the third round and get Alvin Kamara, one of the top-rated running backs, too. Even though he's a rookie and they have other people to use, Adrian Peterson is absolutely done. I mean, I was going to say, maybe he could squeak out some productive weeks, but more or less, this guy is not the same player.
Okay.
It's over.
You could not be any more wrong. I think this is probably Adrian Peterson's last good year in fantasy. But we're talking about a guy who, until 2014, when he had that big injury and only played one game, he had double-digit touchdowns every single year up until that point, from 2007 through 2013. He's never averaged less than 4.5 yards per carry if you throw out 2014 when he got injured in the first game and last year. So we're talking about a guy who's really productive, always gets in the end zone, always has over 200 carries. And 2015, you know, let me read off some stats, all right? And this isn't, you know, how quickly you forget. This is only a couple of years ago. 1,485 yards on the ground, average 4.5 yards a carry. 11 touchdowns. Now, he doesn't catch the ball. He never will. He's never had over 43 catches in a season in his entire career, and that's not going to start this year. But I think Adrian Peterson in New Orleans, I think he's going to be motivated. I think he is a borderline lock for 8 touchdowns.
He might be a lock for 8 touchdowns, but
he's got 11, 12, 13 touchdown upside.
Yeah, easily. But anyone can fall in the end zone for 8 touchdowns with the New Orleans Saints. They're in the red zone every other drive. I mean, that's why he plays the New Orleans Saints from a fantasy perspective.
I like it.
Okay, but I'm talking about from an actual playing football. He's 32. His last good year when he was 30. It's probably not a surprise to me that at 31 he broke down. You know what he did for the last 5 games when he was 30 and he had his 1,485 yards? He started breaking down. His last 5 games, yards per carry were 3.5, 4.7, 3.5, 3, 2.3. And this is after 23 carries, 18 carries, 22 carries, 19 carries.
Okay.
So my point is he was already breaking down at the end of 2015.
Okay. All right. Who were his quarterbacks in Minnesota? The entire outside of the year he had Brett Favre, who has he had as a quarterback? I mean, he has Drew Brees throwing him running the offense. Probably won't be throwing him the ball too often, but he has Drew Brees. They have good weapons. They have Michael Thomas. They have Willie Snead. And
are you making an argument for that the running back position as a whole in New Orleans is productive? Because
considering he's probably going to be the starter in that running back group, yes, that's the argument that I'm making. I don't think he's going to have 2,000 yards rushing, but I think you could make a strong case he gets 1,000 yards rushing, 10 touchdowns.
There's no way he touches 1,000 yards rushing.
You don't think so?
Not even.
All right, wall bet. We got to do a wall bet.
All right, over under 1,000 yards, I have under.
You know, it's a good thing that we're talking about this on the air, because we can roll back the tape when, you know, December, January come around, and it's borderline disrespectful the amount of hate that spews from your mouth when you talk about Adrian Peterson. I mean, it's like the guy is 32. He's not 90.
All right,
relax. We're talking about a freak. We're talking about one of the best running back talents in NFL history. He's a freak, so he's going to have 10 touchdowns.
Is he going to have productive weeks? Yes, but who else had productive weeks out in New Orleans? Well, Mark Ingram's for starters.
He's a lot better than Mark Ingram.
And who else? Travis Cadet had some pretty good weeks. Oh, Tim Hightower had some pretty good weeks. You know, that guy retired from Arizona that came back out of the blue and was like 30 and was productive. I mean, everyone can be productive there. I just don't think he's like the same runner. I don't think he's very good.
Well, he's not. We're talking about from a fantasy perspective. I think because that's where all this comes into play. Fantasy running backs over the age of 30.
I still think it's going to be disappointment more weeks than not. More weeks than not is going to be disappointment, obviously, which is why I took the under on the 1,000 yards.
Okay.
Next one.
All right, let's move on. Off to a dashing start. Frank Gore, 34 years old.
Yeah, Frank Gore is one of those that you just cannot underestimate. Every time you think that it's going to be his last year or he's going to go completely down the tubes, he just doesn't do it. He seems to be slightly less efficient each year after another. I mean, he was 33 last year and was still fairly productive. I think he'll be okay. I think he'll be what he was last year minus 10%. It's like he's on like a little slow gradual, you know, scale going down.
I love him. I mean, Frank Gore is my kind of a fantasy running back. He's somebody that you can get late. That the older he gets, more people are gonna, you know, get, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? They're sick of him.
Off his bandwagon, sure.
They're off his bandwagon. He's 34. He's old. They drafted another running back. So I Frank Gore, we know what he's gonna give you. He's gonna touch the ball every game. He's not gonna average a ton of yards per carry. He's not gonna catch a lot of passes. He's not going to be too flashy, but he's going to get the job done. So I think he's somebody that he gives you guaranteed touches. And when we're talking about fantasy running backs, there's nothing more that you can ask for than a running back that gets guaranteed touches.
Oh, yeah.
And that's Frank Gore to a T.
Absolutely. I remember last year going into training camp, preseason, into the season, like, oh, we're going to temper, you know, Frank Gore with the touches. We're going to make sure he's healthy for the season going into the playoffs. And what happens, he's got three more carries in the year before and happens to have more yards in the year before. So I think it will be a similar situation where Indy would like to take him off the field, but since he is so productive at everything he does, pass blocking, catching out of the backfield, still had 38 catches last year, very respectable, it's hard to take him off the field because Indy does such a great job at drafting. They have a plethora of running backs. Maybe they should call up New England and grab a nice veteran backup because we got about 13 of them and put someone behind Frank Gore so they can actually take him off the field. All they have is this rookie that they drafted in the fourth or fifth round, Marlon Mack. So I guess we're on the same page here. We expect Frank Gore to be Frank Gore.
Yep. And before I get on to the next one, I was just looking at the most ridiculous stat I've ever seen. Adrian Peterson in 2012 averaged 6 yards per carry. How stupid is that?
All right, can you shut up about Adrian Peterson?
I can't. All right, Marshawn Lynch, 31 years old. He wasn't in the NFL last year. He's coming out of retirement, if you can call it that. Playing for Oakland, buying that offensive line. What do you think about Marshawn Lynch at 31?
I don't know if this is accurate or not, but I kind of get the sense that Marshawn Lynch is here to have fun playing football. He retired early. You know, all the reports were when he was retiring that he lived off of all of his endorsements and saved all of his game checks. Was, I guess, very smart financially. So I think that he's not necessarily coming back for the money. I think that he's coming back because, yeah, he did miss the game. And when he retires that early, I'm just going to be slightly concerned about the commitment level. Now, how many touchdowns did Latavius Murray fall into last year? 13, if I remember correctly. So with that offensive line and that offense, is he going to be having productive weeks? Yes. But as a runner, I don't think that he's the same person. I think he is going to be not very efficient. Maybe they grind it out and give him a couple games at over 20 carries. I don't know. They got two other rookies that they had last year with DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard. So I do not have any faith in Marshawn Lynch. You?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with Marshawn Lynch. And I know as high as I was on Adrian Peterson, it might sound kind of weird that I'm this, you know, far off the bandwagon on Marshawn Lynch. But I don't love the fact they sat out a year. You know, people could say, well, he's got fresh legs, which I don't really buy that. He's still 31. He sat out a whole year. And he's going to a team where I don't know if he's going to be able to top 13 touchdowns. I don't even know if he's a better runner right now than Latavius Murray. And Latavius Murray had a pretty underwhelming season. In 2015, Marshawn Lynch only played 7 games, and he looked like a shell of himself, if you remember that season.
Yeah, and that was two years ago when he was 29.
Exactly. And so, I don't know, everybody wants to remember beast mode, you know, 2012 through 2014. when he just, you know, he was a beast. But I'm off, especially, and I know we're not, you know, talking about ADP for this conversation, this segment, but it's hard not to look at his ADP, where he's going to be drafted, and just and have that not play into your feelings about Marshawn Lynch, because I don't like him this year.
No, I would agree. I mean, he was hurt 2 years ago, didn't play last year. They have definitely some talented backs behind him, especially in the passing game. So, yeah, I'm off of him.
Okay. All right, we got one more here. We got Jamaal Charles. What are your thoughts? And now he went to Denver. They signed him as a free agent, so he's no longer with Kansas City. They have Devontae Booker in his second season coming back, and they have C.J. Anderson coming off the injury. How do you think Jamaal Charles is going to fit in to that running back, you know, that backfield? And what do you think about him as a 30-year-old running back, someone that relies on speed, athleticism? What are your thoughts on Jamaal Charles?
You know, with Jamaal Charles, sometimes one of the signs that I think we can look at to be a – maybe help give us an indicator on where Jamaal Charles is in terms of health and as a running back was the fact that the only deal he got – now, granted, the Chiefs had to cut him. They had to move on. He was getting paid a lot of money. But the only shot Jamaal Charles had was after the draft and a one-year – deal with Denver that had no guaranteed money. So, I mean, I can't imagine all the teams if they really needed a running back. I mean, look at what New Orleans went out and paid for, Minnesota paid for Latavius Murray. So, and New Orleans with Adrian Peterson. So, people kicked the tires with Jamaal Charles. I mean, even Seattle with Eddie Lacy getting a much bigger deal. So that concerns me, that there seems to be maybe major concerns with his knee. He's now 30. It's been 2 years since he's ever really had any type of productive season. He played 3 games last year, five games a year before that. So I have to be completely off. But let me ask you, when you give your breakdown, is there a possibility that he is a sleeper?
I mean, anything is possible, but I'm just not buying into it, because as long as Steve, you know what? I don't know. I'm going to play a Jeff. I'm going to go back and forth and flip flop.
No, you can't do it. You can't do my move.
I would say no, and he's certainly not somebody that I'm going to, you know, have a lot of shares of this year, but I think if C.J. Anderson – I think the question is – the big thing is, can C.J. Anderson stay healthy? If he does, I think it's C.J. Anderson's gig. And I think Jamaal Charles will be, you know, – he'll have a minimized role, especially with Devontae Booker there. But if anything happens to C.J. Anderson, I think Jamaal Charles is somebody that has a sneaky upside. So if that answers your question, I'm kind of hedging my bet a little bit there. But, you know, what else do you expect?
Yeah. Well – I have a running back for you that I believe that I'm a little bit higher on, and I'll let you start.
Okay.
Danny Woodhead coming off of the injury, going to be 32.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go, Danny Woodhead again. I don't like him. I say this every single – you're going to keep bringing him up, I'm going to keep telling you I don't like him. I do not like Danny Woodhead at all.
What's he done to you? Jeez.
I don't know. He's had a couple decent years in San Diego, now the Los Angeles Chargers. I don't know. I don't love it. I don't know how he's going to be used. We think that, especially with Kenneth Dixon being out for the first few games, that he's going to have a large role. I mean, we also thought that that Kenneth Dixon would have that role last year, and then we saw Terrence West get a ton of carries to start the season. So I don't know. I don't know what to expect with Baltimore. I don't love Danny Woodhead, but his age doesn't bother me as much for his type of skill set, because he's a PPR guy. He's someone that's going to catch passes. So if you're in a PPR league, you know, I don't think the age of 30 plus really worries me about someone like Danny Woodhead. Now, someone like LeGarrette Blount, who's, you know, 30, turning 31 in December, as a Pats fan, it seems like he's been in his 30s for the last 5 or 6 years, because that's how he runs, and he averaged 3.9 yards a carry. So for someone like Blount, I just – you know, I think I'm definitely off his band. I don't know why I just brought LeGarrette Blount up, but I did.
Can we stay on target?
Well, you know, you bring up Danny Woodhead. I'm going to bring up LeGarrette Blunt. I mean, if we want to waste our listeners' time, let's just throw out the names.
I like Danny Woodhead. As you mentioned, age is not that much of a concern for him. He doesn't really run the ball a whole lot. He's had over 100 carries in a single season only once. So he's not really a runner. You don't have to worry about the whole wear and tear thing. And he's a PPR specialist. We only talk about PPR leagues for anyone just joining us right this second. Every type of mention that we talk about with running backs and wide receivers, it's about a PPR format. And Danny Woodhead is a PPR monster. Okay, caught over 80 balls 2 years, or about 80 balls 2 years out in San Diego. And Baltimore doesn't have their little third down Kyle Juszczyk that went out to San Francisco, so that's a glaring hole. His role...
You love Kyle Juszczyk. It's like the third time you brought him up this year.
I know. I don't even know how. I just keep bringing him up. I keep finding ways. But Danny Woodhead's role is protected. It doesn't matter if Terrence West is running on early downs or Ken Dixon is running on early downs. Danny Woodhead is going to have a big role the first four games with Kenneth Dixon being out. So that's of extreme... I don't know, like, we should be taking advantage of. It's the same way that D'Angelo Williams was starting for Le'Veon Bell for those three games. Like, Danny Woodhead is going to be involved a lot in that offense, especially on third downs. You think Joe Flacco is just going to start, like, throwing to his wide receivers?
Of course not.
No, and he just lost Dennis Pitta, who I believe maybe led the team in targets last year. So there's nothing more Joe Flacco loves to do, same when he had Ray Rice. Now he's going to have a perfect person to dump it off. I mean, that's going to be their whole offense. It's going to be a screen pass to Danny Woodhead or the nine route with Mike Wallace pretending to get defensive pass interference. Okay, that's it.
You had to squeak the nine route into this argument, too. You got to mention Danny Woodhead, Kyle Juszczyk, the nine route.
Yep.
You're on fire right now. It's like a checklist.
It's like a checklist. Boom, done, done, done.
You're in mid-season form right now. All right, can we get to receivers here, or do you have another running back that you want to throw out and just continue to waste our time?
No, let's get to receivers. Okay. Go ahead.
I got three. So I think there's clearly three, maybe four receivers based on their track record that I think are going to be very, very productive. Let's start with Jordy Nelson at 32. He just turned 32. I didn't know he was this old. Neil, me with age. You know, certain players I think have been in the league forever and they're only 28. And some players, I'm like, oh, they've only been in the league a few years and then being 32. So,
oh my God.
What do you think about what else is new? What do you think about Jordy Nelson? I mean, it seems like a dumb question because we know he's a stud, but let's talk about Jordy for a little bit.
They always say that the second year you come back from a knee injury is kind of the year that you have that like big blow up year, but he came back last year and was phenomenal. So I have no reason to believe that he was going to have as productive as a year as he had last year. I think Green Bay's offense was sputtering a little bit at the beginning when they couldn't figure stuff out. They moved Ty Montgomery to the backfield. So that's less of a weapon out in the receiving core. I mean, still got Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams had a good year, but what Jordy does is so good, and obviously he's on that connection with Aaron Rodgers. I think, though, to kind of also answer your question, he will have a great year this year, but I think this is going to be his last great year.
And that was going to be kind of the next thing I was going to touch on with Jordy, is because I think players like him, obviously he's going to – I think we all think he's going to have a really good year. But is he getting very close to the edge? Is this going to be his last good year? I think this could be his last elite year. I still would consider him a top six, top seven fantasy receiver. He's coming off a monster year. I mean, you look at the last two full seasons he's played, he's had back-to-back 90-plus reception seasons. And I don't think anybody really thinks of him as, you know, a high-volume receiver, you know, in terms of PPR leagues, because how many touchdowns he scored. 14 touchdowns last year. I think the bigger question with Jordy isn't age, it's can he put together another double-digit touchdown season like he did last year? You know, you look at the last three full seasons he's played, 85 catches or more in every year, over 1,200 receiving yards in every season, and at least 8 touchdowns or more. So he is as reliable as they come as long as he can stay healthy. And I think we're going to get at least one more really good season out of Jordy, and it's this season.
Yeah, and I don't think like he's going to fall off a cliff and he's 33, you know, the 2018 season. But I think it's definitely going to be lower production. Kind of think of like what happened to Roddy White as he kind of like slowly, gradually just kind of took a couple steps down each year and then finally just had a really bad year and then just had
Reggie Wayne, Anquan Boldin, kind of same thing.
Yeah, and Anquan Boldin is a good example, too, of like, you know, he still had some good games. He's still productive. But if Jordy has a phenomenal season this year, which we expect, then there's a good chance going into the following year, his ADP is still going to be very high, but he'll be 33, and he's just going to be too much of a risk. And this is forecasting a lot, but I'm just saying, like, if he has another really good year, he's obviously going to be drafted early, but he's going to have that huge risk of another poor year the following year.
So we're both all in on Jordy. Neither one of us worry about the age of 32. Nope. I might even say I think he could have maybe two more really good seasons, but I think this is going to be his last elite season. All right, let's look at Julian Edelman, 31 years old. He also just turned 31 last month. Are you worried at all about Julian Edelman? He's had a lot of injuries over his career. He's taken a lot of hits. He is like the end-all be-all for the New England Patriots offense with him and Gronk. So what do you think about Julian Edelman?
Take a guess. I want you to take a guess, and I'm a pretty definitive on one side.
Yeah, I'm guessing you don't like him.
I don't. I like to look at some of the signs that aren't like the Miami Dolphins offensive coordinator hyping up the entire offense. The sign here is New England just traded their freaking first-round pick for Brandon Cooks, who not only do they give up the first-round pick for, but they're also going to have to go and sign him in a year to a long-term, big-money contract. Well, to me, this is a clear sign that Edelman is, and this is the same thing that happened with Wes Welker. You think you have that extra year left in him, but he just doesn't quite have it. Here's the other kind of key fact. When Edelman was playing with Gronk in the game, 7.5 targets per game. Without Gronk, 11.5. Gronk didn't play much last year. Gronk's healthy right now. They bring in Brandon Cooks. I don't like much of his situation. I think he doesn't get a lot of touchdowns that you can really rely on. There's not a lot here for me to really bank on and feel confident in Edelman, as much as we both really like Edelman.
See, who knows how many more years Tom Brady is going to be playing for the New England Patriots or be in the league for that matter. I think as long as he is in a New England Patriots uniform, Julian Edelman is going to be the guy. He's got such a great – we talked about the connection Jordy has with Rodgers. The connection that Edelman and Brady have is second to none. This is a guy, if he's healthy and he plays 16 seasons, he's a lock for 150 targets. He's going to get between 90 and 100 catches. Touchdowns is the issue, always has been the issue with Edelman. Outside of that one season, 2015, where he had 7, you know, he's pretty much in the 3 to 4 range for touchdowns every year. And adding Cooks, you know, Dwayne Allen, Gillisley, you know, all these other weapons, I don't think that bodes well for Julian Edelman increasing his touchdown output. But I just think I like players like Julian Edelman because you don't have to spend a top 2 or even 3 round pick on them for the most part. And they're going to give you high volume receptions. They're going to give you consistent targets. He had over 1,000 yards last year, and he's in one of the best, probably the best offense in the NFL. So I'm higher on Julian Edelman, but you know, I've always been higher on him than most people. The other thing, I think touchdowns and injuries are the two biggest things with Edelman, because he's only had 2 seasons where he played a full 16 games. Well, that is problematic.
What about target share?
Yeah, but see, this whole like having a lot of mouths to feed and a lot of weapons on the Patriots offense is nothing new. I know it's getting a lot more attention this year because they added Cooks, who's more high profile. But he had 158 targets last year. So, and the Patriots throw a ton. And the first, 4 games were with Jimmy Garoppolo under center, or 3, and then he injured. But so if you get 16 games out of Tom Brady and Edelman plays 16 games like he did last year, I expect him to get more than 150 targets. I expect him to get more than 3 touchdowns. So I really like Julian Edelman. I think he's getting to be overlooked going into this year. I think a lot of people are going to be sleeping on him. I'm not worried about his age at all. And I'm not worried about all these other weapons because the two constants in the Patriots offense are always going to be Gronk and Edelman as long as they're healthy.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking about ADP. His ADP might be okay because he is a PPR machine, and he's going to be able to pretty much figure out how to get you, you know, your 5 yards, five catches for 50 yards as almost like a as a floor. But as a nutshell, it could be this year.
As a nutshell. in a nutshell.
In a nutshell. It could be this year, which I'm probably banking on. And if not, you know, it would definitely be the following year because the Patriots sometimes plan ahead and they're 1 year, you know, 1 year in advance. But I'm not risking it. I'm not really into all the mouths that we the Patriots have to feed. And, of course, there's touchdowns and injuries, as you mentioned.
Okay, so let's go to the third receiver in the I'd say the tier one for 30-year-old receivers, Larry Fitzgerald, the oldest on this list, 33 years old. He actually turns 34 in August. You could say he's like the Frank Gore of wide receivers. What are your thoughts on Larry Fitzgerald? Another year with Carson Palmer.
Yeah, I like Larry Fitzgerald to a certain degree. I think he's going to be very similar to what he did last year. I don't think that outside of David Johnson, they have much they can rely on. I think unlike Marshawn Lynch, you know, if Larry Fitzgerald is playing, he's giving it his 110%. He's going to be working hard every single day. So, and again, like John Brown, not really buying into that hype. I know he had that, it was the sickle cell trait or something like that. And he had like a cyst on his back, that a spine that he had to get removed that was sapping his energy. He had a lot of issues. But he's always got issues or hamstring issues, which I think might have already happened. Can't really rely on J.J. Nelson a whole lot. Basically, in a PPR league, Larry Fitzgerald is going to have over 90 catches because they're going to have to force the ball to him because they can't really force the ball to anyone else besides him and David Johnson. So I do like him. Within reason, he's slowed down the second half of the year, the last 2 years, but he's 33. So I think that he's still got one more good year left in him.
Couldn't agree more. Do you know who led the NFL in receptions at the wide receiver position last year?
Was it Fitzgerald?
It was Fitzgerald, 107. So he was number one. And then you have Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, who, by the way, are both going in the first round in just about every draft. So Larry Fitzgerald, you know, and he parlay that with the fact that he had 1,000 yards receiving and he had 6 touchdowns. So across the board, a better season than Julian Edelman. And I think with Arizona, he's the one constant. He is their receiving game, right? I think they'd love to get the ball to John Brown and some of their other younger weapons, but I think when, you know, it comes down to it, Carson Palmer is going to rely heavily on Larry Fitzgerald because he can depend on him. You know, Larry Fitzgerald has skills that age well. You know, he's never relied on speed. He's got good size, he's got good hands, and he's a good route runner. So I like Larry Fitzgerald a lot. Like you said, he always kind of tends to trail off in the second half of the season. So I think that's worth keeping an eye on. But there's not too many, you know, better 30-year-old receivers, at least for the first eight weeks of the season, than Larry Fitzgerald in terms of consistency and all that good stuff.
Next wide receiver I wanted to bring up was Brandon Marshall. He is 33 years old, obviously going from the New York Jets out to the Giants in New York, going to be the number two receiver behind ODB. What are your thoughts there with Brandon Marshall now being 33, kind of coming off of a down year?
Oh, man. This is a tough one. I know where you stand on this because we've argued about this in the past with Brandon Marshall. I like it. I think with Brandon Marshall is he going to be motivated? Now, with most receivers, the whole switching teams thing would kind of scare me a little bit, but not with Brandon Marshall. You know, we've seen him have 1,000-yard seasons with you know, 4 different NFL teams. So basically, everywhere he goes, he puts up a 1,000-yard season, and he's productive from fantasy. So he has a better quarterback. I mean, he had a terrible season last year with injuries and whatnot, but also, you know, who did they have throwing the ball? Ryan Fitzpatrick, Bryce Petty. It was a disaster. So he has Eli Manning. He's got a good quarterback. They have Odell Beckham to take a lot of the pressure off him. So I think he's going to have a good season. I don't know what his upside is. I'm not too worried about his age. He had a lot of drops last year with the Jets too, but I think that can be You know, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that he probably wasn't, you know, in it 100%, and he was annoyed, you know, being in New York and in that type of atmosphere. But I like him this year. I don't like him as much as Fitzgerald or Edelman, but I don't think you can write him off.
Yeah, I think, I mean, his catch rate last year was 46%. I mean, Jesus. I mean, they could not get the ball to him, you know, and obviously they tried. And he 46% catch rate. So you would have to imagine that just having a quarterback that can actually just get him the ball, his numbers are going to dramatically increase just from that without even seeing an increase in targets. I do, however, am a little worried about his upside. I guess it'd be kind of the same with Fitzgerald, but Fitzgerald's like guaranteed like 90 catches. That's not going to be the same with Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall is going to be kind of the guy that catches a lot of touchdowns, but is not going to see too many receptions.
But see, this is the misconception about Brandon Marshall. I think people look at him as a touchdown guy, but he's had 100 catches or more with three different NFL teams. He had three straight years of over 100 catches with Denver. He had back-to-back years in Chicago with 100 catches or more. And in 2015, he had 109 catches. So this guy is an absolute target machine. Now, is he going to be able to get open? How much of that had to do with, you know, the Jets not being able to get him the ball? How much that had to do with him getting older, battling injuries, and just not being able to get open? I don't know. But you're also getting a discount. I know, again, we're not getting into the ADP of these players, but I think he's, at the very least, he's an interesting player to keep an eye on in terms of where he goes, because he's got the tools. He has a proven track record everywhere he goes. Even the 2 years he was in Miami and they had nothing there, he still had over 1,000 yards both those seasons. So I don't love him, but I do like him.
I know that he's a reception guy, but everything you just named was because he was the number one receiver on that team. Now he's the number two. I mean, that's a big difference. ODB gets so many targets that, and then they still have, you know, the tight end they drafted in the first round. They have Paul Perkins coming up. They've got Sterling Shepard in their second year. I just don't see where the fit is with Brandon Marshall. I don't think he has high upside. I know we're not talking about ADP, as you mentioned. They're going back-to-back, him and Fitzgerald. Who would you rather have, Fitzgerald or Brandon Marshall, considering they're going back-to-back?
Wow, that's a tough one. I mean, it's hard for me to say it right now. I mean, ask me this question beginning of September, I might have a different answer. But I think I would lean towards Larry Fitzgerald. You know, I think at the point when you're taking them probably in the fifth round, yeah, I think – that's tough. I would probably go with Larry Fitzgerald, though.
Yeah, and I guess I'm also off of Brandon Marshall because I just don't get, like, what the return's going to be. Like, I feel like the upside is not very high and the downside could be pretty low.
Well, I just think that he's getting a raw deal because, I mean, we're basing this, you know, knocking him on this one season last year, when it was just a complete disaster, and we see what the Jets are now. And they had Ryan Fitzpatrick, who was just an absolute disaster, Bryce Petty. And he battled some injuries. So I think when you look at that and you say, do we give him a pass on last year? If you just look at last year, you isolate that one season, I think we would both agree, yes, we'll give him a pass. So, okay, if we're giving him a pass for last year, what else do we have to base it on that we don't think he's going to be – that we don't like him? I mean, every other season he's brought it. So,
well, you know, obviously his age. I mean, that's a factor. So now he's 33. Last year he was 32. So his last good year was when he was 31. I mean, when you start looking at it like that, that's a big factor. How about the fact that he's not the number one receiver on the team? Okay, that's a big deal. So this team has more weapons besides having to rely on Brandon Marshall. I think he's a good fit for the team. For real life, fantasy, again, I don't know what the upside is. I think the upside is very limited. I think the downside could be pretty bad, and I'm just not worth going down that road.
Fair enough. I think you could go both ways, Brandon Marshall. I think he's either going to be a complete disappointment or he's going to have like 9-10 touchdowns. I don't think there's going to be any in between with Brandon Marshall this year.
Okay. One of the last players I wanted to bring up was Eric Decker. I don't know if it's the same situation, but, you know, he got hurt, didn't play all of last year. So a little bit different where Brandon Marshall was playing. But Eric Decker is now only 30 years old. What are your thoughts with Eric Decker signing with Tennessee?
I love it for Tennessee in real life. I love it for Marcus Mariota in fantasy. I don't love it for Eric Decker. I just, you know, he's somebody I would take a flyer on and I would stash on my bench because, you know, he's someone that you can plug in that's going to be solid. I don't know how much upside he has. They had Rishard Matthews, who had 9 touchdowns last year. He's coming way back down to earth this year. They drafted Corey Davis. And, you know, I like Eric Decker. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure how big his role is going to be. It's looking like he's probably the number one receiver or at least the number two receiver. But I don't know. That's a tough one. What do you think about Decker?
I like it. I mean, I don't think there's any reason not to like Eric Decker. I mean, he got hurt and didn't play all of last year. Now, granted, even if he did play, it wouldn't have mattered. We can obviously give Brandon Marshall somewhat of a pass in that situation. I mean, 46% catch rate for Brandon Marshall. That's not all his fault. But he's 30. So Eric Decker's got several years, you know, that Brandon Marshall doesn't have. And I think that Rishard Matthews was a nice player last year. We got to see how productive Marcus Mariota was able to make a average wide receiver. So that's encouraging. So if Marcus Mariota gets a really good actual wide receiver as an Eric Decker, who's so efficient in the red zone, he's always been extremely efficient in the red zone. I really like the upside. I'm not going to really count on Corey Davis to be, you know, that rookie come out of the gates playing really well. I'm not counting on that. I'm counting on Rishard Matthews being Rishard Matthews, go back to being number 2/3. They obviously like to run the ball a lot, but I think Eric Decker basically slides right in and is their de facto number one, and I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I like Eric Decker as a player, and I think Tennessee is a under-the-radar pick to challenge for that division. I think you have Houston, Indy, and Tennessee, one of those teams. I just named off every team in the division. But I think Tennessee is going to have a pretty decent year this year. And I love Mariota. I'm high on him. And if Decker can stay healthy, I agree with what you said on Corey Davis. He's a rookie. So I think Eric Decker is someone that can come, you know, right out the gate and give you some good production for sure, especially as Corey Davis is ramping up and getting his feet wet in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you bring up a good point on maybe, you know, what his upside is. Eric Decker doesn't need 150, 175 targets to be extremely productive if he's getting the touchdowns. So he's never had more than 137 targets in his career. So even if he's around 125 targets, in Rishard Matthews had about 110 last year. I think he can kind of slide into a similar role as that and maybe expect between 70 and 80 catches, and hopefully he hits the double-digit mark in touchdowns. So I think overall where he's probably going and the offense likes to run a lot, I think the upside is a little limited, but I think the return on Eric Decker is going to be good.
Yeah, definitely a decent chance of that.
All right, good. Well, that's going to wrap up our episode talking about players who are 30 years or older. Everyone can find us online on Twitter at NFL Talking Heads or on Instagram at NFL Talking Heads as well. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Try saying that 3 times fast. With your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lull. We'll catch you next time.